I've been thanking the Lord this morning for his wonderful help. I think there's another song, maybe it's a scripture verse, that says wonderfully helped. And I feel like I've been wonderfully helped here this morning. In fact, through the 2 days I've been here at camp, wonderfully helped by the working of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I need his help. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. What he's been helping me to do is to seek the Lord. I think that's the best help and the most important help that we need. Yes. Oh, that help, some help to give us help. I'm sure we all know what it's like to have help in the physical world, natural world. You get a flat tire on the highway and you can't get your car jacked up, and one of those big trucks pull up behind you, and truck driver gets out with big muscles, you know, and guy that knows exactly how to run the jack and what to do with a car to get it up and get the tire changed, and how good you feel that somebody came along and helped you when you've got a job to do around the house and you need some help from somebody else, and one of your neighbors sees you in trouble or sees you struggling with a job, and he comes along and volunteers his help. And how good it is to have somebody to help us when we're in need.
Amen.
And the Lord has promised us the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us to seek the Lord. I can't do it alone, and I'm sure you must feel that way too, that you can't do it alone. We can't find God alone. We may want him, but even that want, I believe, is the help of the Holy Spirit, even if we want it. We really can't do anything. Scripture says that no man seeketh after God. So even to have a desire comes from the Lord too. But then as we begin to seek God, we find out that we're pretty shallow, and that there's not very much cry there. We thought maybe there was, but we soon, you know, forget about it, or we don't go very far. But when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart begins to lift you and helps you and gives you that impetus that you need and that encouragement and that strength that you need, and gives you so that it's just the other way around from what it used to be. There's no man that seeketh after God, and now you find yourself seeking after God. Isn't that
Amen. Wonderful?
I think that's marvelous. You weren't, and now you are. How come? Well, God has taken up his abode within our hearts, and he begins to give us that real cry after knowing the Lord.
Yes.
And we begin to seek him with all our hearts, so that we find ourselves taking up the moments that we used to idle away, you know, thinking about any old thing that wasn't worthwhile thinking about, or worrying, or being troubled about something, or carrying maybe even an evil thing in our mind. Now we just turn that around. No, we don't. The Holy Spirit turns that around, and he uses those moments. Instead of thinking on those things, you think on these things, and those things of the Lord, of course, and he gives you that seeking spirit. So I want to thank God, as well as say these words for the help that the Lord's been giving me these days, and I'm looking forward to the rest of my time here, that it will not just peter out, but that the Lord is going to give me an increased cry and an increased spirit within me, his spirit within me, to seek him. And I'm sure in this meeting this morning that if we seek the Lord, now maybe you've been thinking about something else, but now if you seek the Lord in this meeting, the Lord's going to do something very wonderful for you, and you're going to leave this meeting with something precious that God has wrought within you, and you are going to be a different person. I'm going to be a different person if we use this time that we've got here to seek with an earnestness, of course, not just along with everybody else and singing the songs they sing and praising the Lord when others praise the Lord, doing what's right. But, I mean, really seeking the Lord, really seeking him. Like you're the only one in the meeting, and if you're the only one that the Lord's after, and you're going to seek him until you find him, and until he gives you all that he's got for you. Praise God.
Amen. away from camp that everything is the same here. Sister Greeley's in the same chair. These other two ladies are in their chairs. The one sits where he usually sits. And I think back to myself, has 13 years passed? What have we done? We just took our son to college. Here's this big, tall kid going off to college, but he's not my son. He's my foster son. And it's kind of hard to talk about foster children, because you take them willingly, and then they grow up all of a sudden, and they go away. And you think, how could I let my children go? Because they don't really belong to me. They belong to the Lord anyway, because we gave them to the Lord. So we brought up four children. My son, Stephen, who just got engaged to be married. Mm-hmm. Three foster children we took to live with us when they were 3 and 4 years old, the brother and the sister. And then another little girl who came to live with us for 10 years in a wheelchair. We took a girl that has cerebral palsy, and we brought her up. And I lifted her constantly, and I cleaned her, and I made her smell like a flower. And everyone said it. How could you take these children? They're not yours. I don't know how I did it. But I look back now and I say, Lord, this was my ministry, because I constantly thought of bringing up these children as a ministry. We were among foster parents and talked with them, and it was a hard road, but I always felt it was a ministry. And I look back now, and I look at Jerry going off to college. Foster children don't usually go to college. They have such troubled lives. You take them into your home when their lives are broken, because they've either been abused, neglected, or mistreated in some way. They've come from homes where parents are not well in some way or other. And your job is to bring them up. How do you bring them up? You bring them up loving Jesus. Amen. You give them what you have, Christ.
Hallelujah.
And this girl, Maria, who is going to be 16 now, we had her 10 years. And I told you, I kept her like a flower. And I just couldn't lift her anymore. And I thought, how could I let this child go? Because her parents gave her up at birth. And then the Lord gave me this verse. When your father and mother shall forsake you, the Lord shall take you up. And the Lord said, you kept her like a flower? I could do better. I'll keep her as the apple of my eye. And I had to let her go, and it was so hard. And I said to the Lord, I'm going to get away from everything, because I couldn't bear the burden of my children leaving. And then the Lord said to me, I'll take this burden, and I know there's a shield. If I get behind that shield, the heartache is tremendous. But if I stay within the shield, that burden is lifted, because God is not going to let our faith down. Bring up your children in the admonition of the Lord. Love them.
Yes.
It's not a burden. It's a ministry. And then they go out and they love Jesus. A girl in a wheelchair that can witness for Christ. Another girl who is 19 now, who can't talk about Jesus. God has to help her because she has problems. But then this boy, 18, that we just sent off to college, we told him, Jerry, find a Christian church. Gave him the name of a Pentecostal church up in Buffalo. And we told him, get in with the Christians. And we committed him to God also, because we want God to reign in their lives. That's how you bring up your children. And then I look back and I say, our work is done. We finished bringing these kids up. It was a long way. It was hard, but God helped us. And I know that there's lights out there that will minister to others. But how faithful God is. He doesn't just let our ministry just end. We go on to other things, and we grow in the Lord continually as we commit our children to God and walk with Him faithfully.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I love the Lord today, but I know that the Lord loves us so much more. He sent His Son to die for us, to save our bodies and to save our souls. And sometimes if we wander off the path, it's His love that draws us back. It's his love that disciplines us and helps us to become strong where we're weak. It's his love that blesses us every now and then when the time is right, like being able to come to camp. And the Lord knows everything. He can do anything. Everything is in his hands and under his control. My desire is to love him more.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Glory.
More love to
such a variety, first of all. You wonder why, and then you just realize that he created those things to that he might get glory out of them.
Hallelujah.
And you think of the vast universe. You hear how now with these new satellite telescopes they are uncovering new solar systems that they never knew existed before. It seems that the more powerful they invent these telescopes, more powerful they invent microscopes, the more they see that there's no end to the vastness of God's creation on either end, out there or down to the microscopic beings. Then you think how God has made us for his glory, how he created us for his glory.
Hallelujah.
And you wonder how that's possible when you see how what he has to start with. You think of the wretch you were before he saved you, and how he's working on us continually, no matter how weak we are, no matter how we fail, and you say, Lord, will it ever turn into anything? Will I ever be able to glorify you to the extent that you want me to? But I'm thankful that God has said these things and that God will do them. I'm thankful that God has commanded the universe, God has commanded his creation. And God has also commanded his strength, and he will fulfill that which he has begun.
Amen. How great thou art!
Thy seal of honor, thy dear Lord,
And when I think that God is on us,
have something that you and I can do. Sometimes you think, well, I can't play like Sister Caroline, or I can't talk like Brother Gordon, but we have something we can do.
Yeah,
and
amen.
That is to be a worshiper of Jesus.
Yes.
He said, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost?
And we're to worship him in that temple? Isn't that something? You know, sometimes we let the cares of life come in upon us, and instead of becoming a worshiper, we become a complainer. You wouldn't, but, you know, I was tempted, have been tempted to be like that. But we're called to be worshipers, and I thought this morning as we worshiped him, isn't it marvelous?
Yes.
What happens when we worship him? He lifts you. Isn't that something?
Amen.
You feel that lift in your soul. And he said, that's what your body is for, to be a temple. In your home, you might be the only one saved, but you're taking that temple right into that unsaved home. And you can worship the Lord. And something emanates from you when you become a worshiper. Why, the presence of Jesus emanates right into that home. You don't have to say anything. They sense it. They sense it. I always remember Sister Elizabeth Lindau. I lived with her for a little while when I first came to New York. And she told this story of she worked in a bank in Manhattan. After she'd gotten saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, her heart was constantly in worship to Jesus. And one day she was getting into a file, and someone came over and said, oh, are you praying? How did those unsaved people know she was praying? Something was emanating from her. And beloved, something emanates from us when we're filled with worship. And you know, Philippians is one of my favorite books. I think I read at least once a week, and more often maybe. And I never found these words until just a couple of weeks ago. It says, worship God in spirit. I thought, I've missed that in this book. I knew it's all through the Bible, but not in Philippians, the third chapter and the third verse. It says, worship God in spirit. You know, that gave me another push. I thought, oh, I ought to be about my Father's business to become a worshiper. Now, you can do that. And when you get into a meeting like this and God's presence and power comes, it's easy. But you know, God wants us to be wherever we are, a worshiper of Jesus.
Amen.
Why, David, he made men by shifts worship three shifts all night long, continually. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That shows you how important it is. And you mightn't have any great gift, and I don't either, but I'm so glad I can become a worshiper of Jesus.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Thank you.
worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let us sing it and let us really worship while we sing. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.